Hello, world. Happy New Year. It's a Tuesday. News, information, and comment right after this. So it's a new year and a new battle, and you know who the enemy is. And we're dressed for battle today, but we don't feel ready, do we? Our weaknesses seem large, and our strengths seem small. To stand firm in this life, we need the power of our living Lord operating within us. To have God's divine power released in us requires some serious, sustained prayer. When we communicate with the Father, His Holy Spirit will give us discernment so that we can recognize truth about spiritual warfare and gain insight into the adversary's tactics, his plans, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Starting each year, starting each day, each morning with the Lord lets Him strengthen us to stand steadfastly for Jesus Christ, no matter what is in store for the day. Oh, the enemy despises prayers offered through faith in Jesus Christ because, well, he has no defense against them. Persevering prayer strengthens us. Let's do it today. It also crushes Satan's might and sends him a-running. James 4:7. Drop to your knees and watch what happens. Did you make it? Did you stay up late? I was working in the office and headed to the family room with the family to see the final 10 seconds going into 2019. You know, millions across the globe saw their capital cities transform into a dazzling spectacle of light last night to mark the beginning of 2019. Festive lights are seen engulfing the night sky in downtown Dubai as the city held an extravagant celebration to make sure the new year arrived with a bang. That's a big deal, isn't it? The skyline was filled with an array of color and smoke as a spellbinding fireworks display flew across the tower. Tens of thousands stood in Paris's Champs-Élysées as they watched things light up in color. Festive lights also decorated Hong Kong, Sydney, Auckland, you get the idea. In Hong Kong, the city's iconic skyscrapers provided the backdrop for a fireworks, music, and a light show over Victoria Harbor, where some 300,000 people had gathered New Year's Eve. And as the earth turned and midnight swept across the globe from east to west, huge firework displays burst over London, New York City, before exploding over Rio, and finally Los Angeles. And of course the world looks at New York City, do they not? New York's iconic crystal ball dropped as usual, and rain-soaked crowds and Times Square's cheered and smooched in celebration as Americans joined the revelers around the world to bring in 2019. For many, the sparkling sphere's time-honored descent came after hours spent in cold, wet weather. Just before the ball fell, John Lennon's Imagine echoed through the crowd. In the first moments of 2019, many in the square sang Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, booming from loudspeakers. Ah, yeah, we just love it. I think Ed Lum said it best. I suppose when we wake up on January the 1st, the world will look the same. But there is a reminder of the resurrection at the start of each new year, each new decade. That's why I always like sunrises, she said, Mondays and new seasons in life. God seems to be saying, with me, you can always start afresh. Maybe that's why we like New Year so much. A Missouri man has been charged with 4 counts of murder for allegedly gunning down his girlfriend, her 2 children, and her mother in their home. Richard Emery, 46, faces a total of 15 different charges, including first-degree murder, assault, and attempted robbery. In the master bedroom of the home where the shooting occurred, officers found a 39-year-old woman identified as Kate Caston, still alive but critical. In a downstairs bedroom, they found the bodies of a 61-year-old woman, an 8-year-old girl, and a 10-year-old boy. The 39-year-old later died at the hospital, according to police. Emery allegedly shot and killed these 4 in the home where they lived just before midnight on Friday before fleeing in his pickup truck and shooting at police responding to the scene. 1 of the bullet holes from the suspect's gun pierced the door frame right in front of where one of the 2 police officers were standing. What an awful story for New Year's. Regardless of who you are, this is something to think about. Incidents like this happening all over the country. It's important to be aware of your surroundings, especially when you're alone at night. I think that goes without saying. A young lady in Michigan knew this and was on high alert when she saw a shirt there tied to her windshield wiper, thinking that it was a kidnapping attempt. Ashley Hardacre, 19 years old, who works at the Genesee Valley Mall in Flint, Michigan, had just finished a night shift when she saw a shirt wrapped around her windshield wiper after she got into her car. She looked around, saw two cars close nearby, making her highly suspicious. She thought might be a kidnapping attempt and drove to a safe place to remove the shirt. Hardacre later took to Facebook to share her creepy experience, primarily to warn others, as we're doing right now, to be careful. In her Facebook post, which is no longer available, she recounted, "I got to my car, locked the doors behind me immediately as I always do, and noticed that there was this blue flannel shirt on the windshield. Saw two cars nearby, felt very uneasy, so I used my windshield wipers to try to get the shirt off. It was completely wrapped around the wiper blade." I've seen a lot of posts lately about people finding these things on their windshield wipers in the Burton, Flint area as an attempt to get girls out of their cars and distracted. Well, there's a word to the wise. And I'm not sure about this one. Have any idea what the most favorite food is in America for the most part? It's a thing called bacon. This radio announcer just loves it, by the way. Well, out comes the latest story. Wouldn't you know it? Here's the report. The vast majority of bacon contains cancer-causing chemicals, and experts say the situation is similar to the tobacco industry's refusal to fully acknowledge the danger of cigarettes. Well, I kicked those years ago. Now, bacon? Oh, I don't think so. They say there's a growing consensus that there's those nitrates, and we know that, in processed meats resulting in what's believed to be chemicals responsible for bowel cancer. Those nitrates are added to cure the meats, helping preserve them and enhancing the colors and the flavors and all that stuff. I think I'll take a break here and have a BLT. More news right after this. If you think about it, you know it's true that our faith really is the heart of our Christian life, is it not? By faith we're saved, receive forgiveness for our sins, enjoy a personal relationship with God, and have the assurance of our salvation. By faith we experience the peace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Through faith our prayers are answered. Yet our lives, and especially our prayers, tend to be characterized by doubt and wavering faith. You know, our faith wavers when we apply human thinking to our circumstances. Isaiah 55:9, sometimes God is going to require us to do something with which human reasoning will disagree. We allow our feelings to overcome our faith. It could be a sense of unworthiness or inadequacy. That's a problem. We fail to see God at work in our circumstances. Yet doubts creep in when we have asked Him to take action, but nothing appears to be happening. And we have guilt over sin, past or present. You can't operate with strong faith when you're under the conviction of sin. And we listen to the enemy's lies too much. Satan, he's the father of lies, whose objective it is to have us reject God's truth and believe his deception instead. Faith is defined as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So as we start out this new year, what is the condition of your faith? Do the words sure and certain describe you? From that trouble ain't trouble till it hits me department, you got to think about it. President Trump on Friday issued an executive order there, froze the salary rates for federal workers. The order wasn't a surprise, but for some 800,000 federal employees furloughed during the partial government shutdown or working without pay, it's like rubbing salt into a big wound. The president had been telegraphing his plans for a pay freeze now for, what, about a year, first in his annual budget and again last summer in a letter to Congress. Trump pointed to the government's dire fiscal situation. Thanks to tax cuts and increased spending, the deficit has ballooned to more than $1 trillion this year. Trump's order only applies to civilian workers. Military personnel who are covered under a separate funding measure will receive a 2.6% raise. But boy, they say, hey, it's hitting me. How long can you go without money? I think they say that you should have something like 6 months in savings. Whatever you normally receive on a regular basis, you should have 6 months worth of that in the bank. But, oh yeah, even a day, a person could be in trouble. Doesn't take long for you to be wiped out. Nope, that's a big no-no there. The U.S. Strategic Command, which oversees America's nuclear and missile arsenal, boasted in a New Year's Eve tweet that it's ready, if ever needed, to drop something much, much bigger than the Times Square ball. What? The tweet was accompanied by a video of B-2 bombers dropping two 30,000-pound conventional weapons at a test range. The tweet on the Strategic Command's Twitter account was replaced with an apology. Our previous tweet was in poor taste and does not reflect our values. We apologize. We are dedicated to the security of America and her allies. Well, some heads will roll on that one, I'm sure. So when you think of Amazon, what do you think? Amazon just had a killer 2018, they say, in nearly every respect, but its retail performance defied all expectations. The company is projected to close the year, netting half of all online shopping done in this country, with staggering sales growth online. No other retailer came even close, which is why they have been named the most impressive retailer of 2018. There was really only one word that was on everybody's lips during this voting. That was Amazon. Just a mere mention of the online shopping giant sends other companies into a flurry of speculation, whether Amazon competes directly or not. It's easy to see why Amazon is seeing incredible growth for a company of its size, making it one of the biggest retailers in the United States and the world, both online as well as off. In the United States, Amazon closes out the year nabbing nearly half of all the sales. Isn't that unbelievable? They will generate $258 billion in online sales in the U.S. here at the end of 2018. That's a staggering increase of almost 30% over last year. Just amazing. Big loss down there in Kentucky. Yep, police in Kentucky have posted a tweet today mourning the loss of a donut truck, which was destroyed after catching fire. The driver of the Krispy Kreme Donuts vehicle noticed smoke billowing from the back as he drove through Lexington. While no one was hurt in the fire, all of the donuts in the back were destroyed. It proved too much to bear for local police officers. Lexington police posted images online of heartbroken officers at the scene of the fire in the southeast part of the city. Fire crews managed to put down the blaze, the cause not known. Police departments around the country were quick to send their messages of support to all of their colleagues there in Lexington. And I like this. Coming down the wire in the playoffs in the NFL, the National Football League, and all those Indianapolis Colts got in, and who did they? Oh, we won't talk about that. You know, the NFL is really a business, and that fact is never more evident than it was yesterday. Called Black Monday in the NFL, the day when franchises decide on the future of their coaching staffs. We had several head coaching firings yesterday. Currently 8 head coaching vacancies now out there. One of those vacancies was in Tampa Bay, where head coach Dirk Koetter was fired. Koetter's son Derek posted a heartfelt message about his dad on Twitter following that bad news. He said, "Dad, thanks for teaching me how to chase your dreams and that good guys win. I'm beyond thankful that I was able to watch you live out yours. Reaching the pinnacle of your career and representing one of 32 is, well, that's pretty cool. To say I'm proud of you wouldn't do it justice, Dad. Your ambition, drive, hard work, loyalty, honesty, and determination never ceases to amaze me. You will always be the head coach of our team." Wow, that is great. It is good when the kids support you. Last words of 2018. What are we gonna do this new year? Right after this. It goes without saying that we here at Greg Patton Ministries and Hello, world. The news broadcast are excited to have you on board and your support in listening, telling others, praying for this ministry, and in some instances, giving. Thank you, those of you that are regular supporters of the ministry. I know this Christian radio station is grateful as well, so continue to just put all of that on your prayer list, my friend. God has been generous. He always has been, always will be. He is in control of everything. But again, we just want to take a moment as we start this new year to thank you for your support and just being there. Like us on Facebook, many of you do, Greg, Jerry G. Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. You want to hear past broadcasts of Hello World, they're available at gregpatton.com. Just click on the link there to iTunes and listen the past several months to see what's going on. Hello World, news, information, and comment from a Christian perspective, every day, right here at this time. So we look to 2019, and you know, we as Christians, I have discovered this in the ministry, I've 31 years in the same church, all these years in evangelism, revivals around the country and overseas, I discover that there are people who are sometimes confused, just like they were there at Corinth as Paul continued to address them. They frequently made mistakes, and sometimes they made some really big mistakes, and you're going to do that this year as well. Some in Corinth had apparently developed the idea that, oh, true spirituality was a matter of some special vision or some spiritual insight that placed the recipient above all the normal concerns of life and, well, you were just something special. Some Corinthians seemed to claim that their spiritual gifts of speaking in a different language excused them from listening and learning God's great truths and behaving according to a normal standard of Christian conduct. And there comes the warning, my friend. Almost all of 1 Corinthians can be understood best against the background of this conclusion. Paul attempts to ground them in the faith, not in some emotional, ecstatic experience, but in, number one, the truth of the gospel, and number two, in holy living and being a great servant of God. How do we do church in 2019? It's best found in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. The message, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, and perhaps above all else, do everything in love. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to break down the first four commands go together and the last one's all by itself, that part of loving and everything, love. Both of these are important. You know, if you're part of a healthy, happy church, it requires that you be both tough-minded, that we think clearly and believe soundly, and be tender-hearted. That is, we extend compassion and forgiveness in a self-denying, Jesus-style love. Imagine the horrible state of affairs in your church today if we would reverse that. Church becomes weak-minded and tough-hearted. When we're weak on convictions and hard on one another, may it not be so of your church. So the command is what? Be on guard always. Sometimes we take that tiptoe through the tulips attitude. Everything is fine. I'm saved. Been saved forever, it seems like. Ah, be careful. The enemy is after you, ready to pounce, so stay awake in an unbelieving world. Stand firm in your faith. The military metaphor here continues. A sentry stands alert to anticipate an attack, and once the battle is engaged, good soldiers must hold their positions. You should, Christian soldier. You can't give an inch. The order, hold back the enemy and keep ground. You know, many have given up standing firm in the faith and replaced it with some sort of a mushy-headed faith in believing today. The Christian faith is not about believing whatever you want. It's about believing the truth of the Word of God and what Jesus said, my friend. You know, there's a challenge out there today. Martin Luther outlined it as well as, what, 500 years ago when he trumpeted a series of solas, or onlys, if you will, for which true believers must be willing to do battle today in life. Scripture only, God's revelation, and the content of our faith are grounded in the Word of God alone and not in a human tradition, a worldly wisdom, or claims of some spiritual vision or enlightenment. Scripture alone, number one. Christ only. We become God's children and receive the promise of heaven and the forgiveness of our sins only because of what Christ did for us on the old rugged cross. There is no other Savior. There is salvation in none other. Apart from Christ, all are lost and in their sins forever. And then faith only. We appropriate the blessings of Christ's death and walk in the ways of Jesus. How? By faith. You can't earn it, work for it, buy it, or do business with political or religious institutions to get it. Only a relationship with God. That's a gift of God received by faith, my friend. So we're told to be of good courage. There's a progression that goes on here in 1 Corinthians 16. The sentry stands guard. When under attack, the good soldier holds his ground. In the midst of an all-out assault, the warrior must be brave, even heroic. In the battle, be a man. What? The sense and the context can actually cut in two different directions here. Both have relevance. First, Paul is calling for masculine courage. Not that females can't be as courageous, but in normal life of the warrior, despite our modern efforts in social reengineering and life today, and the stuff of warrior princess legends that you see in the movies, most battles are fought by men. In the midst of a spiritual attack, stand up, be counted, don't run, don't hide, stand and fight, act like a man, like a trained warrior, and not some sissy. But there's another meaning here, particularly in 1 Corinthians. The concept carries the idea of being a man, not a boy, not a child. And in this sense, the call to adult behavior is just as applicable to women as men. Yeah, you've heard it said, he is behaving like a child. That was actually happening here in Corinth. It can happen to you and me today. Brothers, 1 Corinthians 14:20, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be an adult. There you go. And then we need to be strong. Real battles, spiritual and physical, are seldom won in just a day. Perseverance often wins where simple skill and energy give up somewhere along the line. Interesting, this term's the only command in the series in a passive voice. This means the strength is not something we do or generate out of our own ability. You don't have it. It's something we receive from outside, and clearly this is the emphasis of the entire scriptures. The spiritual strength needed to stay the course is from the Lord, not you. So in your life and in your church, it's going to take real dependence on the Lord. All must call upon his strength. The enemies are just too great. The obstacles too large for your natural strength. Only the supernatural will do. And the good news is that such supernatural strength is ready and available now. If you desire it, all who will ask can have it. Be alert. Stay firm. Be men of courage. Remain strong. This is what it means to do church with a tough-minded faith. And without tough-mindedness, church has no identity today. There is little to distinguish it from the shallow sentimentalism of the world. There's certainly nothing to fortify young and old against the assaults of the enemy. Without this toughness of spirit, there is nothing and no one that we can count on when we're under temptation and attack. There's nothing to hold on to. And you be that tender-hearted person. We must love in our giving. We must love in our forgiving. We must love our God, our brothers, and our sisters, even when they are wrong and lost around us. Only when people are loved and know it will they want to find out what makes you or your church tick. And only when outsiders see people who love one another unconditionally all the time will they want to become one of those insiders. There they are. Paul's final exhortation, our final words of 2018 going into the new year. It's not an easy task. Doing church in this place from now on requires the best you have. So be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong and do everything in love. Thank you for being a part of Hello World. Trust you're going to have a great New Year's Day today with family and friends. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, God bless and enjoy the remainder of your New Year's Day.